Okay. Let's talk about the MTA machines.
Okay.
They're accessible, kind of.
Accessible-ish. The only thing is they're accessible for the old style of headphones that have the... I'm a Luddite. What do you call the pokey thing that's not a flat thing that goes in the jack?
The eighth-inch jack?
Yeah. So now I use a newer model iPhone, and the headphones that I carry have the flat thing. I don't know what you call it. But anyway, they have the flat one, and the MTA machines need the pokey one. So if I want to use the accessible MTA machines, I have to carry two sets of headphones, which is very silly.
What do you do if you didn't happen to have the headphones that day?
I have enough residual vision that what I will tend to do is lean over and squint. But let's be honest, who wants to breathe anywhere near the screen of an MTA touchscreen machine?
I really don't.
Yeah, it's pretty grim.
I don't know. What do you think about them, Nihal?
I agree with our friend, but also each bank or MTA, when you go to any ATM or MTA, you need to figure out that machine from the beginning, because each machine has its own, programming.
Yeah.
So
its own little sequence.
Exactly. Like it's like when I go to ATM and I just wanted to get my money and go away, but I need to listen to all the instruction, because each of them, with the different companies, with the different bank, they are different. So they are slow sometimes, and yes, I can say they are accessible, but I mean, I'm not worried about slowness. I'm worried about like listening and learning every day different kind of machine. So they have to be universal.
And that happens with public transit too. The MTA machines work one way, the LIRR machines work another way. And I get it, because they're doing different things. They're dispensing different kind of tickets. With an MTA machine, you just need one kind. With an LIRR machine, you need a different kind. To some extent, I understand there's going to be variation. But the variation should... Okay, so when you get in a different kind of a car, right? If you're a sighted person, you're driving a different kind of a car.
Some things can be relied upon.
Yeah, you can pretty much rely on the steering wheel being in the same place. If you're driving an American car, it's going to, you know, the pedals are going to be similar-ish. The buttons may not look the same, but they're going to be in about the same places. Like things...
Or a calculator.
Yeah. I recognize there's going to be some deviation, but anyone can pretty much, if you're a sighted person, you can pretty much get in any car and drive it. And not have to spend 5 minutes figuring it out. I would like it if digital access interfaces worked in a similar way, or at least similarly reliable.
And it seems like that could happen, because like when I go to a website, I'm a pretty confident screen reader user. So when I go to a website, if it's following accessibility standards, no matter what it is, I kind of know where to go to get like the top shortcuts. I know where to go to get like the main output from what I just did. So it doesn't seem like a total moonshot that you would have some sort of design template that could be reliable between different brands of point of sales or ATMs.
I mean, well, that would make sense. The only thing that I think could counteract it is that, of course, each of these is being produced by a different company, and there's no regulatory streamlining of the outputs of these companies. You know, they're in it to make a profit.
Yeah.
Within the margin of making that profit, they're not really interested in, I don't even know if it's an active distance or so much as a complete lack of thought toward making anything with a universal design template.
I have to tell you, the MTA machines are my least favorite, because they tell you so much so slowly, and they tell it to you in this outspoken, that's the name of the speech synthesizer, I think it might date back to the 1980s. It's this monotonous thing, it's hard to listen to, the rate's so slow, and I've lived in New York since 2006, and I haven't memorized the sequence to get my 30-day unlimited card. I'm not proud to admit that, but it's true. It's not delightful.
Sorry.
Go.
Sometimes, I mean, even although like the headphone works, it's very like volume is very low, and if it's loud plays, which like Times Square, like what do you call that? Herald Square?
Yeah.
The 34th Street.
I hate that train station.
It's
just on
like,
principle anyway.
I need to listen it 10 times. Like when I look behind me. there was no one when I started, and then the line goes like 20 people.
Oh,
and
I hate
start
that.
Sweating.
And why do they think you're slow?
They think, oh, I'm blind.
Like, no, it's not the terrible machine. It's the blind lady.
Exactly. That's what they think. And then someone just approaches you like, can I help you? And then they look at your screen. Oh, your screen is blank. Because you try to hide your privacy. So you need to keep your privacy. So
you blank your screen because the accessibility is on. And they're like, oh, she's not using it at all.
Exactly. It feels like I'm standing there doing nothing. Well, but it's so quiet, so low volume, and I can't hear anything. I just try to listen.
And there you are, finger to your ear, like pushing the earbud
exactly.
in.
And it's true.
Not a good look.
Because, look, here's the thing. When I moved to New York City, the car, they had just switched over to Metro cards, and the machines weren't accessible at all. So I don't want to... I don't want to seem like I don't appreciate the steps that are being taken. I just think that...
They must never seem ungrateful.
Well, no, I don't mean it in a sarcastic way, because it's just... It's not like there's no discussion at all about True. Accessibility, because there is. I just think that the discussion may not be addressing the pertinent issues, which are speed, regularity...
Ease of use.
That's yeah.
In my belief, instead of creating or like making things accessible from scratch, city or state could create a committee that talks to each other, and like they can just bring everything together and create a universal or like generally it could be used
standardized system. Yeah.
Exactly.
Some kind of a working group across the industries.
Yes.
And it could be a voluntary thing. I think designers would like it if they thought of it. I hope they would.
Well, I mean, most people don't go around saying, man, we want to, you know, actively create these devices that completely eliminate functionality for, you know, X percentage of the population. I mean, and it's not just blind people that need to be considered. I mean, you're talking about universal design, you're talking about people who have difficulty using their hands, people who may not be able to reach certain things because they're using a wheelchair and they may be at a different, you know, reach level than, mm-hmm. you know, quote unquote, the normal population, you know? People don't think about these things because they don't think about them. I don't think they do it out of some malicious intent. But the fact that the outcome doesn't come from a malicious place doesn't make it any less problematic.
Yeah, I think that's right. And on that note,
yeah,
we go to dinner.
Yes, we do.